Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so excited to have you here with us again at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, where we meet every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just want to share with you that this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you please join us tonight for devotion? We're going to have Dr. Nick lead us in Bible study tonight, but we'll have Mark Bryant, Dr. Nooks will read the scripture, and Eric Jefferson will lead us in prayer.
Again, thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. We'll start off with song, scripture, and then prayer. Our song of today will be, Jesus, You are the center of my joy.
Jesus, You're the center of my joy. And all that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, You're the center of my joy. When I'm lost my direction, You're the compass for my way. You're the fire and the light when the nights are long and cold. In sadness, You're my laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, Your hand is there to hold. Hold. Jesus, You're the center of my joy, and all that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, You're the center of my Jesus. You're the center of my Jesus. You're the center of my joy.
Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture is found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. But Sanballat and Tobiah heard that Jerusalem's walls continued to be repaired. The Arabs and some people from Ammon heard the same thing. Some men from Ashdod heard about it too. They heard that the gaps in the wall were being filled in. So they burned with anger. All of them made evil plans to come and fight against Jerusalem. They wanted to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God. We put guards on duty day and night to watch out for danger. During that time, the people in Judah spoke up. They said, "The workers are getting weaker and weaker all the time. Broken stones are piled up everywhere. They're in our way, so we can't rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, we will be right there among them. We'll kill them. We'll put an end to their work. We'll do it before they even know it or see us. Then the Jews who lived near our enemies came to us. They told us 10 times, no matter where you are, they'll attack us. So I stationed some people behind the lowest parts of the wall. That's where our enemies could easily attack us. I stationed the people family by family. They had their swords, spears, and bows with them. I looked things over. Then I stood up and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. I said, don't be afraid of your enemy. Remember the Lord. He is great and powerful. So fight for your brothers and sisters. Fight for your sons and daughters. Fight for your wives at home. Our enemies heard that we knew what they were trying to do. They heard that God had blocked their evil plans. So all of us returned to the wall. Each of us did our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work. The other half were given spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers stationed themselves behind all the people of Judah. The people continued to build the wall. Those who carried supplies did their work with one hand. They held a weapon in the other hand. Each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the men who blew the trumpet stayed with me.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity. We, your servants, come before you thinking that it is not robbery that we would study your word, and ask that you would bless God and direct us through this study, that you would give us spiritual minds, heart, and ears to hear you, to serve you, to love you, helping us to determine how we can best do that, Father. For we know that we should be a reflection of Christ Jesus, who gave his life on our accord, that we did not have to be separated from you forever. For we know that we are sinful men and women, and we have fallen short. But through Christ Jesus, we have an advocate. And as we study about rebuilding our lives and look at Nehemiah and what he was able to accomplish, Father, let us rebuild the walls in our lives, whether it be in our families, whether it be in our communities, whether it be in our churches, whether it be on our jobs, Father. Help us to understand that we serve you, that we look to emulate you. And Father, because we know that we will struggle with that, help us to know that Christ paid the price. Give us minds to understand that we don't have to be separated from you. Give us desires to do your will and to follow your laws and your precepts. Help us to understand, Father, that we need you, that we need to depend upon you, and that our lives are spared through you. May you bless the teacher today, Father, for we know that he's feeling a bit under the weather. But may his words resonate in our hearts. May he give us guidance and direction that comes directly from you. May you bless those that are listening, Father, who may not join in the conversation, that they may receive something that helps them to be different people when this call ends. And may we always praise, honor, and glorify you in all that we do, Father. But most of all, may you prick our hearts when we may be outside of your will, Father. We may have fallen just a little bit short, that we may know that you still love us and that we can find a way back, for we are not totally lost. So, Father, have your way in our lives and in this study, that it may be a new day, a new way, that we may serve, honor, glory, and magnify your holy name. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank Brother Mark for the song this evening, and we thank you, Brother Eric, we thank you for prayer, and Dr. Nix for the scripture. We are so excited again to continue. This is our last night on the subject of rebuilding our lives. And so our goal of study is, our goal of study is to utilize the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem as an example to help us understand can you put your phones on mute? We can hear the background noise. Hold a second. Let me do a little bit of phone etiquette. For those of you who are in the studio who are interested in being a part of the Bible study, even those of you who come every week, just put your phones on mute if you're not going to talk. And for those of you who are in the studio, until you get ready to talk, if you put your phone on mute, we wouldn't hear you rustling with papers and things in the background. So that comes across, and I can't be heard as well, or whoever is leading. So we thank you. We want you to join in with us. We want you to contribute and enjoy what we're studying tonight. I'm so excited because the lesson is about rebuilding our lives, and we're talking about how Nehemiah teaches us on how we can through the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem to help us understand how we can rebuild our lives, churches, and communities. On the first week of our study, we talked about, is there a need to rebuild, and how does God help us do this? The second week, we talked about, how am I to help rebuild? And then last week, we talked about, how is my neighbor to help rebuild? And tonight, we're going to focus on how we can work together to rebuild. Dr. Nooks, I know you're a little bit under the weather tonight, but if you're ready, let's take it. Let's go.
Could we get a roll call? Who do we have online?
This is Eric.
Okay.
This is Mark.
Okay. Do we have anyone
Dr.
else?
Jackson.
Dr. Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Hello, my brother.
How are you?
All right.
Good.
Okay, we've been talking about rebuilding our lives, our churches, and the community. And tonight we want to focus on how we can work together in rebuilding our lives, the church, and the community. All of us go through some times when we need renewal, when we have been torn down and we need some new direction, like Paul when he was on the Damascus Road. In our foundational text in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we find these words, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." But sometimes when we are Christians, even in our faith walk, we get torn down and we need to be rebuilt. We are new people when we become a part of the body of Christ. But the attacks from Satan don't stop, and we don't stop having problems. Sometimes we have a hard time accepting that people are new, and sometimes we want to sit up and say, "Oh, I remember when you used to do such and such." And we even have a problem accepting the fact that we're new, and at times we want to hang on to what we used to do, and sometimes we fall back on what we used to do. Like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, some of them wanted to go back into slavery instead of moving by faith into the unknown. So we have a problem sometimes moving into the unknown, but we want to talk about rebuilding tonight. And even after we decide to take a step of faith, we run into some major stepping blocks. And those stumbling blocks, are called other people. And the road blocks that we face are not always from people outside of the church. When we can work together, how can we work together? And that is the question tonight. How can we work together? And the churches have a hard time getting along with each other. We are blocked by theology. We're blocked by custom and tradition. We're blocked by what folks used to do and our opinions about things. And we're even have a hard time working even within the church because we got some old legacies that we carry around that what somebody did 25 years ago to our grandma, and we have a hard time getting rid of that. Tonight, we would like to look at the story of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall to help us in our attempt to work together in the rebuilding of our lives, our churches, and our communities. And I'd just like to start out with a general question before we go to our text. And our text is going to be Nehemiah 4:7-18. But what are some obstacles that need to be overcome in order for the people of God to work together in rebuilding our lives, churches, and communities? And that's a general question for all those that are on the line.
This is Eric. I think what fascinates me most about Nehemiah's work and how that came about is he was able to get the folks to focus on a common goal and purpose. And although they all had different agendas and they all had different thoughts and processes, he found something that they all could rally around. And I think in rebuilding and working together, we've got to find the angle in which we all can work together for a common goal. And in our lives today, we all seem to want to work for what's best for us. It may not be what's best for the community. It may not be what's best for the team. It may not be what's best for, you know, the church or the family or, you know, we always want to do what's best for us. And I think that, you know, one of the common things is selfishness. I mean, we got to find a way to get rid of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Doc Jack. From my perspective, everybody wants to come together over a common objective or goal to do something at the door of the program, and that is leave their egos at the door.
Amen.
Let those egos go. One of the reasons why churches cannot work together and accomplish the work that God actually called the church to do, one preacher has to be bigger than another preacher.
My Lord.
And one church has got to have more campuses than the other church. What is so necessary is that we understand when we come before the Lord, there are no little you's and big I's.
My Lord.
Or big me's and little everybody else. We have to be so in love with Christ that we lay our egos at the door. And the purpose is what fuels us with our passions and our desires to see that our community can come together when we love one another.
Amen.
I agree with, I think it was Dr. Nitz who made the statement, you can't get churches within churches to love each other. And that's supposed to be what identifies children of God, by the love you have for one another. Well, if they can't do it there, they're certainly not going to be able to do it out in the community.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, I was listening, and as I was listening, I think as we, as Eric was saying, we need to have a common goal, and God is always, I think, experiencing God. What's the guy's name who does Experiencing God, Dr. Jackson?
I'm sorry?
Who's the guy who wrote the book on Experiencing God?
On the spiritual God?
Experiencing God.
Oh,
who wrote that book?
You remember Claude King and somebody else? Southern Baptist, yeah.
Yeah, somebody wrote a book about experiencing God, Mr. King,
Dr. Jackson.
And the important thing that I took from that is God is always in the process of doing something. We just have to
Amen.
Be tuned in to what it is that God is doing. And I think that's where I think we are struggling. We as people need to be in our word and listening to God so that we can hear God. It's not just the pastor who has to hear, and the pastor needs to hear. But we as people, when we're in the word, we can get that affirmation. If we are also studying and struggling to be forward of an apostle of hearing. So it's about also being positioned and in a submissive listening posture to hear that God is calling us to do this endeavor. So I think it's about, and what's behind that is the love of God, which others have mentioned, which is what I was going to say. It's the love of God as well that should promote and propel us to do this.
Amen.
Yeah, this is Eric again, and Dr. Jackson touching on something, because the other part of that is whatever the task is, you need to accept your area of operation. You don't
Amen.
Need to be concerned about somebody else's area of operation in the project or what needs to be done.
Amen.
And we have a hard time with that because we think that, well, if Eric is doing X, Y, Z, and I actually had somebody tell me this one time, he makes that look so easy that I think I can do that. Well, I make it look easy because you don't see me when I'm there 3 hours before you get there, 9 hours after you leave,
That's right.
trying to make it all work.
Right.
And so you get involved in an area of operation that God didn't call you to be in, and if we could accept our area of operation, it would work
Amen.
More smoothly in whatever the project is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To go along with that, I want us to read our foundational text, one of our foundational texts, before we get into the text of for Bible study tonight. Mark, do you have a Bible?
I have one.
Okay, Dr. Susie, could you read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 19. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 19.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, 15.
Yes.
15
yes.
says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will
Amen.
Live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone, hello, who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun.
Through to 19.
Oh, I thought you said 17. I'm sorry. A new life has begun. Oh, did I lose that passage? I sure did. I'm sorry.
And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us
yeah.
this task of reconciling people to him. For God was
mm-hmm.
in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
Reconciliation. Amen.
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 I just want to raise the question about us evaluating others from a human point of view. So verse 16 says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And, you know, we read on through the text, and it says that we become new creatures and new people. But we have a hard time, I think, accepting people as new people and even understanding that we're new people ourselves. But if we can stop evaluating people from a human point of view, how
Amen.
Would that affect our ability to work together?
Amen.
Dr. Susie, what do you think about that? If we could stop evaluating people from me.
I think
Go
that's
ahead.
Right on. I think that's par on, spot on, as they say, simply because if we could do that, if we could, I think it was Sean who used to say all the time, Sean, you on the line tonight? Sean used to say, if we could just see others as God sees them, or see ourselves as God sees them. And then if we could do that, then I think we would treat people differently.
Amen.
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 There
Any
needs
other?
To be an acceptance of the fact that we were all created in the image of God.
This is Eric, and that's absolutely right. So the for real question or statement is, you know, how can I do that when I want to make you worse than I am? Because
right.
I know what I am. So even if we both in the church and I see myself and I'm like, well, they can't be any better than I am, so I'm going to have to see them a little bit lower than me put my, you know, foot on their neck. And I think that's the problem, is that most of us can't get past that we ought to be new creatures as well. And as Sean would say, you know, God sees us differently, so we ought to see others differently. But it's that old nature that says, nope, you can't be better than me. We're sitting here together, but you can't be better than me. We both the frogs on the log waiting to catch a breeze, but you can't be any better than me.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dr.
I was just going to, I want you to go ahead and complete your thought, because I want to extend this to the community in our country right now. If we can apply this same type of understanding to people in our communities and in our country, how would that affect us as far as being able to work together in community? But go ahead, Dr. Susie.
Amen. And in response to that, I'll lead off talking about that, Dr. Nista. The thing is, we have everybody who is in our country is a child of God. God loves them just as much as God loves you and I. And even though we're in the faith, we have become Christians. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love people who are not Christian. God loves everybody. And I think we get that wrong. We start looking down on people because they're not Christians. We start looking down on people because they're not like us. They're not women, or they're not men, or they're not straight. They're hetero, and they're not homo or different sexuality. Or we start looking down on people because sometimes it feels as though we have to have our back on our foot on somebody else's back to raise ourselves up. And that is not what God has called us to do. God has called us to lift each other up, each one reach one, each one help each other, because we're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen. No question about that. One of America's social pathologies is the need to affirm yourself at the sake of your brother or your sister or whomever. That's why we've never done a good job dealing with racism in this country. Never, because it always has to be about power, money, influence. As opposed to, can we just be loving Jesus and letting Jesus teach us to love others and see them how he sees them?
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, this is Eric, and you're absolutely right. We're supposed to do that, so we're lying to ourselves. Because Christ hasn't called us to live the life that we're living and treat people the way that we're treating, so we're lying to ourselves as country, as churches. I mean, you know, we all know that the most segregated hour is Sunday between worship service, whether it's, you know, that 9 or 11 or whatever, because we keep lying to ourselves, thinking that, you know, my way is the best way. And this is
Dr. Susie. We don't just do it and treat one another not as brothers, black and white, or other ethnicities. We do that among ourselves, black men and black women. We oppress. And we have to stop doing that. We need to look in the church as we're sitting next to the people next to us, or when we work with people, and realize that, as you were saying, I don't remember who it was who said it, but that we really are equal, that we're not one better than the other. However, it's something that's in us that causes us to feel that we are better than the other, or have a need to strive to be better than the other. And maybe it's our society has created these hierarchies, which they have, to make us all feel that, you know, some are better than others, so we all strive to go to the top of the hierarchy. But we have to understand that the one that we're ruled by is not the world standards, but God's standards.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we do this in denominations too, don't we? One denomination feels like they're better than another denomination. You know, one church is Holy Ghost headquarters, and everybody else is lost. Some churches try to convert people from other churches because they're not saved. I mean, this whole concept of I'm better than you is just inculcated into our culture.
Or one church will let you take communion because you're not from that denomination.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
And it goes against everything that the Bible teaches.
It does.
But we grab onto it, and then we say, hallelujah, Jesus, I love you. And then we want to put our brother or our sister down for some reason, or whatever it is we've come up with in our mind. So, I mean, we need to work together. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So I'd like to now go to Nehemiah chapter 4. And somebody that's got a Bible, could you read verses 7 through 9 again for us? Nehemiah 4, verses 7 through 9.
Dr. Jackson, do you hear that?
I can do that. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. Shall I continue?
Yes.
Through nine.
Okay. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed, oh, isn't that a gorgeous term right there, but we prayed to our God, posted a guard day and night to meet this threat.
Amen. So, Dr. Jackson, what does that say to you about what we're going to face when we try to rebuild?
It says to me that whenever you have embraced any mission that God has called you to do, you are going to get opposition. But what I like about this particular verse, they chose to pray. Because all of us
Amen.
Have a mind. All of us have ways of coping with conflict. Isn't it nice when they all come together, pray, and then God leads them into the wisdom of a postal guard day and night to meet the threat?
Amen.
I love it.
Amen.
But this is Dr. Susie. This is Dr. Susie. I wanted to support exactly, I love what Dr. Jackson said about it's the people they knew they needed to turn to God. Whenever we're in stress, it's, you know, we can pray, but we need to, in praying, I think the key thing was to know that it's God who's going to help you in this situation. It's God you
right.
got to turn to. But they did, you know, the Bible says be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They also, come on now, put guards on duty.
Amen.
Hello, anybody there? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because they knew, because they knew this folk ain't right. So you still have to
Amen.
Have your back covered as you're praying, because the realities of life are that you're going to be attacked.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes when you're doing a mission that involves rebuilding anything, you have to be intentional about being determined. That before you actually begin, you have to believe that the work that God has called us to do, he's going to complete. I just have to make sure my heart stays right before God, my heart stays right before my enemies, and I press on knowing I'm not going to be the populist guy in the block. There's going to be conflict within the group. There's going to be conflict from outside the group. But our God is a God who reconciles us one to another.
Amen. Amen.
And press forward.
Mark. Amen. Mark, are you on the line? Okay. Can somebody read verse 10 for us?
John, do you have your Bible? Okay,
Eric,
I
can
read verse 10.
Okay.
Verse 10 says, during that time the people in Judah spoke up. This is the New Living Translation. They said, the workers are getting weaker and weaker all the time. Broken stones are piled up everywhere. They're in our way, so we can't rebuild the walls.
Amen. At times we get tired of the mess. And we may just want to give up. I don't know about you, but sometimes I felt like giving up. And it's really been hard, and it's been a struggle. And sometimes I find the biggest battles that I fight are within the church.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, have you witnessed people giving up or have you contemplated giving up yourself?
Oh, I've been there. In fact, when I resigned from Greater First, I swore I would never pastor another African-American Baptist church again long as I live. Guess where I am?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Tennessee, Louisville, Tennessee, going to a missionary Baptist church called Mother Love. But to their and they had all that traditional crap that comes. I'm sorry, just let me take away the word crap. All that traditionalism. But it's the place where God has sent me.
My Lord.
And so what enables me, because because I have been burned out before. Once you forget, power in you is Christ. And for whatever reason, you become distracted. I think there's a story somewhere in Mark where Christ is going to heal a man on a Sabbath. And with a shriveled hand. Remember that story? And Christ knew that the Pharisees and Sadducees were setting him up. And he also knew, and the Bible says that he got angry, but he never lost focus. He got angry. He didn't act out the anger. He never lost focus. And I really see that this is what's happening. Yes, they're going to want to get out. And there's all this rubble everywhere, okay? But they don't lose their focus.
Amen. Amen. Does anyone else have any advice for our people that might be on the line that maybe they are experiencing maybe wanting to give up right now? Because I tell you, things can happen in your life that makes you want to give up. And what Dr. Jackson said is great. Don't lose focus.
This is Eric. And so when that time comes, you just got to look to God. I mean, you really have to look to God and say, you know, I need for you to strengthen me and walk me through this and help me through this. I remember a time in my life where I just, you know, and forgive me because, you know, I'm just going to be real with the folks. I had this F it attitude, and I meant everything, just everything, whole everything. And my grandmother, I'll never forget that, she looked at me, and I was probably 23, 24. She says, how does a young man who has everything to live for and God has blessed immensely get to that point? Nothing matters. I don't care about nothing, don't care about nobody, and just done. And I had to come to the realization as the prodigal son, I had to come to myself and realize that it wasn't about me. It was about what God needed me to be and to do.
Amen.
When I made that decision and made that distinction and began to truly walk with God and try to listen to God. And I mean, it wasn't perfect. There were many ups and days and downs and battles. But then it finally started to click. And so when you get to that point, you got to come to realization and you got to fall on your knees and say, Lord, I need for you to take control. I need for you to guide me. I need for you to direct me. I need for you to speak to me. I need for you not to leave me. I need for you to let me know that your presence is here and that you're going to lead this.
Amen.
And that's what I would tell folks.
Amen. Amen.
Sean, or Brett's on the line. So Sean and Brett's on the line. Did either of you have any comments?
Tell them come off mute.
You have to get off mute. Have to come off mute, y'all. All right, Dr. Nick.
Okay, Sean or Brett, do you have a Bible, one of you? We need to read verse 11. Yeah. Nehemiah 4:11-12.
This is Eric. I've got mine, Dr. Nix. I've got one up online. This is a New Living Translation. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what happens, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemies came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us.
Amen.
Amen.
So what does that say to us about our enemies? Are they people that we can see from far off? Or where are our enemies at?
Yeah, this is Eric. No, they right next to you, some of them.
Amen. Amen.
Standing right there with you, like, yeah, come on.
Wherever you turn, they will attack.
There was a guy that I used to know, and he would have a person that he was against, and he would say, yeah, I'm going to get him. I'm just waiting for my time. And so that let me know that person was, you know, he could be doing me just like he was doing that person, just biding his time when he could pounce on them. And to think that somebody who calls himself a Christian is that calculating. But in reality, he was. He was leading a place in the national denomination. But that's exactly what he was doing.
Amen. Amen. And I don't know, I know all of you have probably experienced a church meeting. One of the worst times in the life of the church.
Church business.
And Dr. Susie, like what you were talking about there, there are people, I just am amazed sometimes. I've been in a lot of church meetings, a lot of different churches, and people come in there with agendas, and they've been plotting and strategizing to hurt people and get rid of people, and then they're working right next to them. Amen. Amen. Yeah, all kind of crazy things, and our enemies are right there with us. So what does that say to us when we are trying to rebuild our lives, the churches and the communities? What do we have to do? I mean, what do we have to do? Because we know our enemies are going to be right there sometimes next to us. So how do you prepare for that?
This is Dr. Susie. I think the very first verses that you had someone read talked about how Eric finished it for me, in Corinthians, are ministers of reconciliation. You know, for those of us who are, see, there's a difference. Some people join the church to just sit on the pew and be in the crowd. They, you know, Tim talked about, what is it, there was three of them. Some are committed, convinced, and curious, committed, and convinced. We got people who are at different levels of activity in the faith. There's some people who are just curious, trying to find out what it is God's going, you know, got going on. Other people are convinced, but they're not committed. So we have to figure out where we are, you know. And I think that's the problem, is we don't do enough personal self-reflection. Because if we did, maybe some of those people who are on the church bench next to us might go, "Ooh, that's me." Instead of when the preacher's preaching, I'm like, "I know Sister So and So. She really need to hear that." You know, we need to take the word for ourselves.
Amen.
And maybe if we would do that personal reflection. Go ahead, Eric. Sean, whoever that is.
Sean. Yeah, this is Sean. I was just going to comment on that same train of thought. This isn't in reference to my church, but I believe that it can be any place, you know, because wherever you are, people are going to test you. They're going to challenge you. You're going to have enemies that you will encounter, as Dr. Susie said. And so I feel that, you know, sometimes when that happens, like I believe another gentleman was saying, that you want to quit, you want to give up, you just say, okay, forget it, it ain't worth it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm feeling like that. And I, at the same time, though, I feel like God is speaking to me and saying, listen, before you leave here, while you're here, you're representing me. So you have to be committed enough to do the job and prove to them that you are there to do what you're supposed to do, and then leave, because you don't want people saying, oh, they quit or they gave up because they couldn't hack it. They couldn't do it. They weren't, you know, smart enough, you know, skilled enough, talented enough, whatever you want to call that. So I think that's like Dr. Susie was saying, you have to be committed. And the commitment can be on your job, whatever the relationship or situation you're in, you have to, like she said, do a self-reflection and come back and say, listen, are you here for these people or are you here because God has placed you here? And if he's placed you, then you are to do the best that you can do, which is the skills and gifts and talents that he has enabled you to do. And then once you have performed, then you walk away from them people and you say, listen, you know, then they'll be begging you to come back. But you don't want to leave on bad terms or do something vindictive or that type of thing because people are looking to find reasons to put you down and say, oh, you know, whatever.
Amen.
And Sean, they're looking at you to see God in you. So if you are bad or negative reflection, then they can attribute that to God as well. They don't even being a Christian because look at what Christians do. So we're always, and so as our radio audience is listening to us tonight, being a Christian, those of us who are new in the faith, it is not an easy journey. But you don't have to walk it alone. That's why we're talking about rebuilding. That's talking about working together. Because together we can overcome all types of obstacles. See, many times we stay at home, and as Sean was saying, you know, if you're feeling blue or things aren't right, we depend on ourselves. But that's why God has given us the body, meaning that we need each other to work together with each other, to lift up each other when one is down, to lift the other one back up when they're down. And not to be worried about, man, I can't look like I ain't got it all together, because if I look like that, then I'm not, they don't perceive this or they don't perceive that. Sometimes God can be using where you are to be a witness and to be an empowerment to somebody else. So we have to be tuned into God so that God can use us accordingly and we can be helped likewise.
Amen. Amen. Could somebody read verses 13 and 14 for us? This is where Nehemiah is implementing the strategy. Verses 13 and 14.
So our station, this is from the, I think it's New Living. Our station for people behind the lowest part of the wall. That's where our enemies could easily attack us. I stationed the people family by family. They had their swords, spears, and bows with them. I looked things over, and I stood along and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. I said, don't be afraid of your enemies. Remember the Lord. He is great and powerful. So fight for your brothers and sisters. Fight for your sons and your daughters. Fight for your wives and your home. The 15?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Somebody's, we're getting a lot of feedback in here. I don't know if somebody has the speaker on their phone or whatnot. But let's get some input into that, those two verses. What does that say to you, Dr. Susie, when we talk about rebuilding and working together?
I like the idea of it shows wisdom in that because they were families, they would protect each other. You know, you're going to fight for your wife and your kids and your children if you don't fight for anybody else. And so I think it was wise that he put them and stationed them together by family.
Amen. 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 And Brett, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Brett, there's that 13th verse says, so I stationed some people behind the lowest part of the wall. That's where our enemies could easily attack us. So what does that say about our enemies and working together? What do we need to do about the vulnerable parts? Where our enemies could easily attack us.
Okay, I want to make this short because I had my throat operated on, but you got to cover your front, back, side, stops, and bottoms because you never know in what direction the enemy is going to strike or try and come at you. So you always have to be prepared.
Amen. Amen. Don't want to let you talk too much. I didn't know you had surgery there. Thank you for that.
So we're going to pray for you too, Brett. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for being on the line.
Okay.
Okay, what else do we see here, in like in verse 14, about the strategy of working together and rebuilding?
Well, this had to be a difficult decision for him, I would think, because he put tremendous pressure on the fathers who were leaders, you know, but they wouldn't run away because they didn't have any choice but to stay there and fight for their families. And I think Nehemiah knew this as well, and he knew that they would fight to the finish so that their families could survive, and therefore they would be, you know, successful in completing their task.
Amen. This is James. He said something in verse 14 when he said, I said, don't be afraid of your enemies.
Don't be afraid. Amen.
Remember the Lord. So, Dr. Jackson, what does that say to you?
I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture that says, we have not been given a spirit of fear. I believe that once you start entertaining anxieties and fear, you stop living faith. Fear and faith mitigate against one another. I'm more afraid of God letting me go than anything else in the world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the fear that comes from my mission and the work that I do and people, no. I choose exercise faith. Simply remember the Lord who is great and awesome.
Amen.
Just try
Amen.
This is Sean. Can I ask a question? You know, for example, we've been talking about different things. Most recent, you're mentioning faith and fear. The question is, how do you, for lack of a better way of putting it, reprogram yourself? Because people are products of their environment. So if you were raised in this, or you were, you know, accustomed to being in that, you know, responding in that, in a way that's not of faith or whatever, you know, you're trying to change and do better, how do you do that?
Well, I kind of let the passage speak to me. First of all, he spoke. Don't be afraid of him. There was intentionality there. There's leadership there. He's addressing the very problems that they're having. Don't be afraid. Choose instead to remember the Lord. There's a passage over there in Proverbs that says, trust the Lord in everything you do. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
And he will direct your
and
path.
And fear. I believe that once you've given over to fear, now you're getting ready to get oppressed. Choose, because you can make this choice. You can choose to believe God no matter what you're going through. And I've seen that and had to do it myself. I just didn't do it before I resigned out of that church. I like your folks, the young lady who said that I should have stayed through that horrible business meeting, went and worked out my other 2 months, and then resigned. But that's hindsight. But I had gotten burned out, and I was tired of it. Tired. I think I stayed in that church for 28 years, and every single business meeting, it was the same crap. And that one got really bad because they went and found people from the highways and byways, some that hadn't been to church in 10 years. So when they're talking about things, because they were going to vote.
I just had it.
This is Eric, and what that tells me is that you were doing what God needed you to do. And you're right, you get burnt out, and it's either fight or flight, and you're like, I'm tired of fighting these folks. When we should be saying, Lord, this is your battle. You brought me here. You got me here to do X, Y, Z. It's obvious that I'm doing it. So you need to fight these battles because I'm just going to do what you asked me to do.
That was excellent counsel, brother. That is excellent
Amen.
Counsel. And I receive that. And I thank you very much for having the courage to tell me that because that is excellent, excellent counsel. We must always remember, if they burned up the greens, what do you think they will do to the rocks?
Absolutely.
Amen. And Sean, to address your question, to change the whole way we've been raised, I think is difficult, and I think it takes some time and practice, exercising our faith, growing in faith, trying it, leaning on God. And just like Dr. Jackson said, we can choose to believe God and trust God. But it's hard sometimes when we've been raised not to do that. And our whole culture is saying, figure it out yourself, do it yourself. So it's and we are afraid. I mean, there are a whole lot of things that make us afraid. So it's not to be afraid. You know, we studied, I think, before about the 23rd Psalm, you know, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But and we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death a lot of times in our lives, and we can become fearful. But we gain strength and courage when we lean on and depend on God. But it's not an overnight easy thing to do. And I know, Dr. Susie, we're about out of time. The last verses there, just it says, our enemies heard that we knew what they were trying to do. They heard that God had blocked their evil plans. So all of us returned to the wall. Each of us did our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work. The other half were given spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers stationed themselves behind all of the people of Judah. The people continued to build the wall. Those who carried supplies did their work with one hand. They held a weapon in the other hand. Each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who blew the trumpet stayed with me. So we have the plan, and then this is implementing the plan, and that's what we need to remember when we're in the church, in our life, in building our churches, building our lives, building our communities. We can have a plan, but faith without works is dead.
Yes,
so we need to implement a plan. So this is the implementation of the plan. The people actually went back to work instead of talking about it.
Correct.
And they did the work. And half of them did the work, and half of them protected and guarded the place. So,
right.
Dr. Susie, I'll turn it over to you.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, are you on mute?
Yes, I will say it's really important that people hear prayer. Because it's, you know, that's just as critical as hearing the Bible study. So, Dr. Jackson or Brother Eric, would either of you choose to close us in prayer tonight? But I'd ask that you would lift up our president, our Congress, the needs of the people out there, whether it's work or jobs or money or income or finances or illness that God needs to meet them with. And let's lift up those concerns of our lesson, those how do we work together, how do we help churches build together, how can God help us realize that we're part of a body of Christ and not individuals alone.
This is Eric, and I'll defer to Dr. Jackson.
Pray for Brett with his throat. Pray for Brett with his operation, healing for Brett.
Father, I come to thank you for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. I thank you for your word that has definitely penetrated my heart and my soul. I thank you for the prophetic word from Eric. I think he doesn't know me. But my spirit is witnessing with his spirit. Lord, from our president to our leaders, especially our church leaders, even to the husbands that you reminded that they had to fight for their wives and their children in this passage in order for that mission to be completed. Father, I just thank you for this powerful word. I thank you for this Bible study. I pray, Lord God, for the brother who has had surgery. I pray that you would continue to be healing in his life and that in the time that he is getting better, that he would keep his heart and mind focused on you. And lastly, Father, I pray for the listening audience that they would get encouraged.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jackson.
Amen.
Y'all have a wonderful, see you next Tuesday. Great Bible study, Dr. Nick. And everybody on the line. Thank you.